It is an absolute joy to sit and listen to the teaching of the Scriptures, knowing that whatever happens in our life, and that we don't know. We don't know what will happen. At least I don't know what will happen in my life. But one thing we absolutely do know is that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I would like to continue speaking about the Lord Jesus from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I suppose there's not a whole lot of boys in the city of Winnipeg whose name is Jesus. But actually, where we live in Managua, Nicaragua, there would be a lot of boys with the name Jesus. They're named Jesus. Now, it's actually been an adjustment for me as engaged in, from time to time, children's work or visiting door-to-door families. There's one young boy who comes to the hall in Managua, and his name is Jesus. Now, I kind of actually, I wonder whether I should call him Jesus or not. Or should I ask him what his second name is and call him Pablo? Because his second name is Paul or Paul. When I'm speaking tonight about Jesus, I'm not speaking about just an ordinary human being. And I hope that we can make that absolutely clear. That there was a baby born into this world whose name was Jesus, Savior, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read about him in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3. Paul is writing and he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12, and so on." I'm thinking tonight primarily of the words at the end of verse number 3. Christ died for our sins. This is a truth that entered my soul when I was 11 years of age. And I'm going to ask you to actually raise, if you're 11 years old tonight, would you do me a favor to raise your hand? Okay, there's a few. There's a few people, young people, 11 years of age. When I was 11, I understood for the first time in a really personal way that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And, I'm getting to be an old, fat, bald man, and I still appreciate this tremendous truth that Christ died for our sins. Have you ever appreciated that in a really personal way? You see, Paul, as he speaks in verse 3, he says, I delivered this unto you, or I preached this to you, or I proclaimed this to you, or I shared with you this message. But it's not just theory. It's not just a message of some seminary or theology school. This is actually personal to me. I received it also, that Christ died for our sins. That was a phenomenal day in the life of the Apostle Paul as he was traveling on the way to Damascus, and he had authorization from the religious leaders to capture Christians, any who were of the way of Jesus, to enter into homes and take women and men and kill some and imprison others. when he was stopped and spoken to by the Lord God Almighty. Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, the Lord revealed himself to Paul in this way, and he never forgot it. Years later, as he's writing to this church of dear friends and Christians in the city of Corinth, he mentioned that what I delivered to you was something very personal in my own life. I would like you to know that. That what the preacher tonight is communicating with you, and it was obvious listening to our brother Steve, and I hope it's obvious to you just now, the gospel message is something that we have received, I have received. It's transformed my life, given me peace, forgiveness of my sins, and this assurance, security, saved for sure forever. It's based on this. Christ died for our sins. I just want to go back and tell you a little bit of this great gospel story, how that the angel appeared to Mary and said that she was going to have a baby, a virgin girl. And the baby that was to be born of her, conceived by the Holy Spirit, his name would be called Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And when he was born, that's just exactly what the angels announced that evening, that unto us in the city of David is born Christ the Lord, a Savior. As he was growing up, became a man, there was a day he was walking beside the river. I think it was the Jordan River. And there was a preacher there that spoke in a unique way and dressed oddly and had a special diet. And many people were listening as he preached about repentance. And all of a sudden, John saw Jesus walking toward him. And he just lifted out his voice and presented him. Behold! Look! He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And as the Lord Jesus was baptized in that river, something very special happened. The heavens were open, the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father was heard. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So when I'm speaking to you tonight about Jesus, I'm not speaking about little Chu in Managua that comes to the Sunday school class. I'm speaking to you tonight about the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. The text tonight says that Christ died. Christ died. I often wondered what it would be like for a person to read through the Gospels for the very first time. I can't remember the first time that I was told about the death of the Lord Jesus. It was something that was talked about frequently in our home, and hundreds, literally hundreds of gospel meetings I attended as a child, and Bible verses in Sunday school, and that's something to thank God for. But could you imagine if a person took the Bible, the New Testament, one of the Gospels, let's say the Gospel of Mark, for the very first time, and for the very first time was reading through. Stephen, I believe you've sat with people that have had this experience, that for the very first time, they're reading through the Gospel, they're learning about Jesus Christ. Learn about his miracles and his healing and his compassion and touching leprous people. In that community of Amak that we visited, far in the north central part of Nicaragua, there was a home that we were invited into, and a little candle was there. A young man was sitting in a plastic chair, and his mother just beside him. We were given chairs and asked how we could help. The mother explained that her boy is sick, a man in his 20s. I asked what he was sick with. She said, well, we're not sure. And he took off the towel that was wrapped around his neck, and without a shirt on, it was clear. I put the flashlight on my telephone on and illuminated the back of that man's neck. And it was a large white patch, the space of a plate, a styrofoam plate. And I looked at the mother and I said, do you know what this is? She said, well, I'm not sure, but we would like him to go to Managua to receive medical treatment. And he had a severe condition also on his feet. We took that boy to Managua. Do you know what he had? He had a form of leprosy. And thankfully, he got medical treatment. I suspected that it might have been something like that. I sent a picture to Dr. McCammon, and he said, it's possible. It's possible. I was concerned for that person to be in the boat as we went back against stream 10 hours. And then sitting in our truck, my truck, I thought, leprosy, no. No, I was scared of leprosy. You know what the Lord Jesus did? He willingly touched a man that had leprosy. And as you read through the gospel accounts about what the Lord Jesus did and how he spoke and how he took children in his arms and blessed them, and then you read that he tells his disciples as they're walking toward Jerusalem that I will be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill me. The religious leaders, together with the Gentile authorities, will in unison condemn me to death. I think a person reading that for the first time would surely ask the question, why? A person like Jesus Christ, with all he did and all he said, why? Why would they kill him? Why did they hate him? Prophesied in the Psalms. The psalmist could say they hated me without a cause. Those that hate me are more than the hair on my head. They delivered him up for envy. They could not stand his holy, righteous walk, his life of absolute perfection, his words that pierced their soul and their conscience. They cried, away with him. We have no king but Caesar. We will not have him to reign over us. Christ died. I would like to speak to you tonight about the death of the Lord Jesus. A violent death. Driving down the road from Tipitapa towards Dolores, several years ago, I saw two men run out of a small yard, and the one man had a machete, and the other man did not have a machete. And the first man was running with fear gripping his face, and the man following him that was yelling, wielding the machete, seemed to be catching up to him. Now, I hit the brakes. I didn't get out, but I did hit the brakes, and I watched in my rearview mirror. I watched as that man was tackled and was hit. I take it sliced by the machete. Tremendous violence and hatred, whatever caused the disagreement or the fight, I have no idea. But as we read through the gospel accounts and understand what they did to the Lord Jesus, they arrested him in the garden and he did not protest. He went with them and went through trials all one night, several different trials, false accusations, and from one place to another, standing before one judge and another. until they made a crown of thorns and put it into his head. If this man says he's a king, he needs a crown. And they took the reed and they smote that crown of thorns deep down into his brow. The violent way that they treated and interacted with the Lord Jesus and he who called worlds into existence was silent before them. They stripped him of his clothes, degraded him, humiliated him, dressed him with a purple robe, bowed the knee in front of him, "Hail, King of the Jews," in mockery. They had the audacity to spit in his face. I was a young boy on the school bus in Ontario, sitting near the back of the bus. There was a Christian girl who stood up. Her long hair, and slowly began walking towards the front of the bus. A boy in high school was bothering her, bullying her. She did not respond. And whatever possessed him to do this to this day, I'm not sure. But I'll never forget that as he wound up and spit on her, she turned and looked at him. Didn't say a word, and walked off the bus. The humiliation, the treatment, what it would be for a person to spit in the face of Jesus. Blindfolded him, took turns punching him. Prophesy, if you're a prophet, who hit you? They did this to Jesus. A violent death. Nailed his hands and his feet to a wooden cross when he was alive, lifted him up. Violent treatment, a violent death. Christ died. The scripture tells us that his death was for a purpose, for a reason. And I'm thinking of the word vicarious. It simply means in place of another. The vicarious death of the Lord Jesus for another. I appreciate that tonight. Have you ever been able to appreciate that the death of Jesus Christ was not just a tragedy, just some sort of an injustice that this world did to him, an innocent, perfect, holy man, but it actually was for a purpose. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, that before the worlds were even existent, he was destined to be the Lamb of God, and his precious blood would cover, would save, would forgive, would take away all of our sin. Has that ever dawned on your soul? To understand that the death of Christ was for a purpose, for a reason. Christ died for. He died for our sins. The vicarious death of the Lord Jesus. Not only violent, how they treated him, how they hit him, how they abused him, how they mocked him. But he did it for. He did it for you. And he did it for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God has demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the. He died for us. The Apostle Peter said it like this, that he carried our sins in his own body on the tree, that he once and for all suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, he's speaking about the death of the Lord Jesus, spoke of how Jehovah laid on him the sin, the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The price of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. The death of Jesus Christ was for a purpose, in the place of the sinner. The 5th of June, 1989, when that understanding awakened in my soul that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I was just that, the sinner for whom he died. The peace, the joy, forgiveness of sins. I hope that perhaps there's a young person tonight, maybe 8 or 9 or younger, maybe 10 or 11 or older. Maybe there's a person here tonight and you've listened to this gospel story in Sunday school. You've been acquainted with it. You know that your parents pray for you, and so far you have been resisting. You have hardened your neck. You have turned your back to God. And yet somehow tonight, by God's amazing, marvelous grace, you're here listening to the message of Jesus Christ, his death for our sins. I would be ashamed if you would read the sins of my mind, my heart, the desires of my flesh. If you would know the things that I have said, the thoughts that I've had, I'd be ashamed for you to know that. But God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, I am free. Can you thank God tonight that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures? I'm thinking tonight about the death of Jesus Christ. Not only was it a violent death in the hands of wicked men, and they'll mock him, and they'll spit on him, and they'll take him, and they'll scourge him, and they'll nail him to a cross. A vicarious death, he did it for another. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The death of Jesus Christ was a victorious death. He cried before he gave up his spirit with a loud voice, "It is finished." Finished. He paid it all. Nothing left undone. No sin left out of the work of Jesus Christ. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, the writer to the Hebrews teaches. A victorious death. I know that because the scripture tells us that he died for our sins according to the Bible, the Holy Bible, the scriptures, that he was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. You see, he said ahead of time that he was coming out of that tomb. Like, he made that known. So much so that they rolled a big stone to the mouth of that sepulcher, and they put on a seal of the Romans saying, "Don't touch or you're messing with Rome." And they maybe had a Jewish guard there. Perhaps it was Roman. It doesn't matter. Soldiers were there. But what are they? Because the third day, Jesus Christ, he who died for our sins, was coming back to life. The Father raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. I am so thankful. We sometimes sing it. I don't know if you'll sing it with me just right now. I think you'll know it by heart. The chorus goes like this. Up from the grave he arose, with mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And that's what I would like to share with you tonight. That Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and people saw him alive. And I'm waiting for the day when I will see him face to face. He's promised to come to take every Christian to the Father's house. I stood I stood in West Virginia a cold day in November. And I looked across the little casket of my 8-week-old nephew. And I watched my sister as she sobbed. And they lowered that little casket down into that earth. And I thank God that the death of Christ was a victorious death. I've knelt beside bedsides on dirt floors, speaking to people minutes before they enter eternity, whispering in their ear, Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've spoken in penitentiary systems in Nicaragua to a group of 40 or 50 men. The very same message. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. And tonight in Winnipeg, may God cause the enlightening of your understanding to be awakened to simply appreciate this precious truth. Christ died for my sins.